In the name of Jesus, amen. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Well, the question of the Magi seems to be a surprise, at least to the people in Jerusalem. Coming to worship an infant king, and then the bit about the star leading the way is even more surprising. Expectant Israel doesn't know what to make of this. These guys from the east show up and start asking questions about newborn kings. It's not supposed to work that way. This is unexpected and therefore troubling. But the Magi question remains, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? In 1567, the Dutch artist Peter Bruegel made a painting which he called The Adoration of the Magi. With a title like that, we would expect the subject to be at the center of things in the painting, the primary focus of the composition. That's what we would expect. That is not what Bruegel gives us. We have a scene. It's a village in winter. I suppose it looks Netherlandish. The trees stand stark and bare. There are houses and buildings and a ruined church. Ordinary people, most of them look like peasants, go about their business in snow-covered streets. The weather is cold. A child skates on a frozen canal. Some people are drawing water from a hole hacked through the ice. A man and a boy carry heavy sacks. A dog follows, sniffing the snow. Some gather twigs, others huddle around a smoky bonfire to keep warm. A man goes for a drink in a makeshift shelter with a jug hanging out front. Men head off for a hunt. Soldiers with swords and pikes and pole axes march through the streets. In the middle of this scene, at the center of the painting, are heavily laden donkeys under red and gold blankets bearing the black eagle insignia of the Habsburgs. Do they come with the Magi or with the soldiers? It is snowing out of a slate gray sky. The snow has begun to dust the hats and coats of people in the streets. But what about the adoration of the Magi? Well, you have to look for them in Bruegel's painting, but they aren't there. Everything else going on draws the viewer's attention first, but off to the side in the lower left corner of the painting are some figures bowing down. A few onlookers stand at a distance. It's hard to tell, but it looks like there are some gifts. Inside a shelter are a man and a woman. She holds a little baby, but they are partially hidden from view behind a stone wall. The adoration of the Magi. Not what we expect. But perhaps that's the way it goes with epiphanies, that they are unexpected. God sends his son as king into the real world, to people going about their business in everyday life, to people that don't even seem to notice him, that have no use for him, that are too busy or too bored to be concerned about him, to people sick and suffering, sinning and dying. The infant king comes into a troubled, stressed out world. Are we living in a Bruegel painting, unable to see, to recognize, to care, overwhelmed by the struggles and worries of the day. We can't be bothered by the big picture because we're so worn down carrying our burdens through the real world. But the Son of God incarnate comes into the real world to redeem it. He comes in love to save the world, to bring the world into his presence, to break through the darkness and despair, to overcome what keeps the world separated from God's gracious reign. Jesus Christ comes as the promised king. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? The chief priests and scribes in Jerusalem are not expecting the question, but they know the answer. There's the prophecy from Micah 5, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Bethlehem, the city of David, makes sense. He is the son of David. The promise is being fulfilled. But there is more to unfold. There is more to be revealed. God keeps his promises in unexpected ways. He comes in human flesh as a child born of a virgin mother. A king born in Bethlehem, not in Jerusalem, not in a palace. It's not what people expect. And then there are the Magi from the east, led by a star. Who sends a star as a birth announcement, and then not to the relatives and neighbors, but to strangers, to pagan priests, sorcerers, astrologers from out east? God manifests himself to the world, and the only ones that seem to care are foreign star chasers. But when they come and find the infant Jesus, they rejoice exceedingly. And they fall down and worship him. And then there is Herod, the so-called king. He's ignorant of just about everything. He doesn't learn about the birth of the king of the Jews from his own people. He finds out from the Magi, and then he tries to kill the true newborn king. And the baby King Jesus and Mary and Joseph fly to Egypt. God keeps his promises in unexpected ways. The revelation of the Savior comes to his own, the expectant Israel, but Israel doesn't seem to notice. The revelation of the Savior King comes to outsiders who worship him. A king for all people, for all nations. And yet this king comes in humility and poverty, hidden in obscurity and weakness, a little child. There is more to this Epiphany story. God fulfills the promises for his king in unexpected ways. We see the story unfolding in the Gospel of Matthew. Moving forward, Jesus is revealed as the Redeemer King, in signs and wonders, in words and deeds, the Son of God in human flesh. Some see and believe and follow, but where does Jesus lead? He enters Jerusalem with his disciples. The prophecy is being fulfilled. "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king comes to you, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The crowds in Jerusalem welcome their king and go before him shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." But who is this? The whole of Jerusalem asks. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. So reads the notice that Pontius Pilate posts on Golgotha's cross. The death announcement hidden in darkness. More than that, it is the mocking charge. This is the King of the Jews. Manifested there on the cross, dying a criminal's death, crowned with thorns, the King of the Jews, for the whole world to see. How can this be? But yet, this is the Father's expectation for his royal Son. This is his way for our King. But this is not the end. There is more to be revealed. 3 days later, the King rises from death to life, from the darkness of the grave to the bright shining light of life on Easter morning. The King reigns victorious, the King of glory, Christ the King, exercising dominion over all the world, over all creatures, over the entire universe. Risen and ascended, now ruling in power, in grace, returning in glory with angel host, the kingdom of glory extending his kingdom of grace into eternity. This is the one born King of the Jews, born to redeem and save the world from sin and death. Born to redeem and save us. And we are coming into his presence everlasting, worshiping, praising, adoring him, Jesus Christ, our King. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds steadfast in Christ Jesus. Amen.